Chapter 2. You played yourself, Steve. Steve. Steve didn't particularly want to move his mouth from its current position. Every inch of Bucky's skin was pretty damn interesting to him, but right now he was especially engrossed by the spot where Bucky's neck met his shoulder. Bucky made some very gratifying noises when Steve applied the right stimulus there, and Steve wanted to know more. He gave an exploratory lick. Bucky let out a muffled moan.
Come on, Steve, seriously, I want to talk to you.
Bucky wriggled away from Steve's mouth and scooted down the couch. Which, mean? Steve scooted closer.
Okay, I'm listening.
Bucky narrowed his eyes suspiciously.
I am. Earlier, when we were getting food, you called me Bucky.
Yeah, said Steve, maybe still a little distracted by the flush on Bucky's skin.
Wait, do you not want me to call you Bucky?
It was Bucky's choice, obviously, and Steve would do whatever Bucky wanted, but it was hard to break the habit of a lifetime and switch to James now.
You can't call me Bucky in public. Here, at home, it's fine, but... Oh, the cover.
Yeah, the cover.
You still call me Steve, in public or not.
Bucky raised an eyebrow.
Well, I can't fucking call you Steven with a PH, now can I, Mr. I'm such a good undercover operative?
Right, you're right. I'll try to remember, said Steve, nodding. Bucky took Steve's face in his big hands and looked him in the eyes, solemn and pleading.
Steve, seriously, no calling me Bucky in public.
Is it really that big a deal? I don't think people pay that much attention, really, Steve tried.
Keep calling me Bucky in public, and the mustache comes back.
Steve wrinkled his nose. Bucky scrunched up his face right back.
Listen, it's one thing for people to look at me and think, hey, that guy kinda looks like definitely dead war hero Bucky Barnes. How weird. Maybe they're related. It's another thing to look at me and think I look like Bucky Barnes, hear my friend named Steve call me Bucky, look at my friend named Steve.
Steve winced.
I get it. Right. No calling you Bucky.
It was easier said than done. Despite technically being CO and XO to each other, Steve and Bucky had spent more or less the entire war just calling each other Steve and Bucky. Sure, they'd used Barnes and Rogers with each other sometimes, and on radios they'd always stuck to call signs or last names. But everywhere else? Bucky was Bucky, and Steve was Steve. And if they'd been in any squad other than the Commandos, it might have been a problem. But the Commandos weren't exactly a normal squad. They'd managed adherence to protocol around superior officers, but that had just about exhausted their collective capability to call each other anything other than their names, or assorted affectionate insults. Steve half suspected it had been deliberate on Bucky's part, calling him Steve more often than not. With so much changed, in such different circumstances, and with Captain America hanging over and shadowing both of them, using the name Steve had been a reminder. I know who you are. Some things haven't changed. We've still got some piece of home with us. His name in Bucky's mouth still meant home, the way little else ever would, and he wanted to offer the same to Bucky, who'd had his name stolen from him for so long. But Bucky's cover was important, so Steve had to try. He was just really bad at it. So bad. Exhibit 1, the grocery store.
Hey, Buck, buddy, hey, buddy, can you get us some bananas?
Bucky stared at him, then shook his head very slowly.
Sure thing, friend,
he said in a tone icier than the freezer aisle. Steve winced. Exhibit 2, running in the park, where they were always inevitably accosted by assorted dogs, who all seemed to unreservedly adore Bucky, which Steve could relate to, but come on.
Aw, your friend is so good with dogs. Do you guys have one of your own?
Asked a charmed, dog-walking citizen.
Oh, no, not yet. But Jack's always been good with animals, I guess.
His name is Bojack? Bucky's head swiveled over from where he had been assuring an ecstatic pit bull that she was the best dog, yes she was, who was the prettiest girl, she was.
His flat stare was the, "Why are you like this?" kind of look that Steve was intensely familiar with a side of vaguely Winter Soldier murderousness.
"Just Jack, actually," said Bucky to the woman, blandly pleasant.
Exhibit 3. The Library.
"I found that book you wanted, buddy. Buddy. Pal. Best. Friend."
Bucky turned from where he'd been perusing the shelf of books on the history of music, it looked like, looked at Steve while he inhaled a very deliberate sort of slow breath. Then he gently took the book from Steve's hands and left for the circulation desk.
Yeah, maybe Steve deserved that.
Steve really had to get better at this. Steve was in line at Starbucks when he got the idea. The line was obnoxiously long, but he'd promised Sam a dirty chai latte, and Bucky had expressed a desire for a scone, so Steve had offered to make a caffeine and snacks run, while Sam and Bucky had fun doing forensic accounting. Well, Bucky had fun. Sam and Steve tried not to fall asleep while tracking down Hydra bigwigs via their Byzantine cash and property transfers. The line inched along, slowly, with seemingly everyone having some complex ice-blended coffee beverage order. The couple in front of Steve was passing the time engaging in PDA. Steve would have liked to be engaging in PDA right about now, even if the only PDA Bucky was comfortable with was holding hands, and that only sometimes. The woman in front of him was doing decidedly more to her boyfriend, and Steve wanted to be annoyed, but there was something sweet in the way she was up on tippy-toes to reach her boyfriend's mouth, the way her fingers played with the fine hair at the nape of his neck. The boyfriend murmured, "Come on, not in line, baby," but kept his hand at her waist, steadying her, and she whispered back, "Oh, babe, you know you love it." And then it was their turn to order, and Steve was blushing. He was blushing, but he had an idea. He stared at the menu on the wall, remembering that first ridiculous coffee order Bucky had requested, back when Steve still hadn't been sure if he was Bucky or Jack. Some hideously expensive quad-shot frappuccino or something. Bucky, Steve now knew, had been fucking with him, because Bucky's usual coffee order was a perfectly reasonable regular coffee, hot or iced, depending on his mood, with about 6 packets of added sugar. Steve ought to get back at Bucky for that, and for all the other ways he'd messed with Steve during this whole crazy undercover as a math teacher situation. And, okay, constantly attempting to turn accidental uses of Bucky into Buddy was ridiculous. He knew that. But there were other non-name terms that started with a B, like baby and babe, as the couple ahead of him had just demonstrated. And he and Buck were together now, weren't they? Who could blame a lovesick man for showering his partner with endearments? What a perfect way to keep their cover solid, right? Steve tried it out the next time he was out with Bucky. It was almost the end of the school year, and Bucky had consented to being dragged away from his grading and paperwork for a quick shopping trip to Target. Bucky seemed perfectly content to live in a bordering on barren house, but the whole minimalist aesthetic was less than ideal, and downright dire for their bedsheet situation, given their nighttime activities.
"Hey, babe, do you want the white or blue sheets?"
Bucky turned towards him from down the aisle, where he was poking at towels.
"Excuse me?"
Steve hefted both sets of sheets in his hands.
"Blue or white?"
Bucky narrowed his eyes.
"Blue," said Bucky, and continued to eye Steve suspiciously.
Steve just smiled back and put the sheets in the cart. Steve almost slipped up in the checkout line, but caught himself just in time.
Baby, can you grab some gum for me?"
To Steve's unending delight, Bucky blushed bright red, even as he glared at Steve. It was adorable. He grinned back at Bucky unrepentantly. Bucky grabbed the gum and put it on the conveyor belt, scowling mightily, cheeks still pink. Steve was going to be in for an earful when they got back to the car, but it was worth it. In the car, after they'd packed away their purchases, Steve leaned across the seat to give Bucky an apologetic kiss, to forestall any kvetching. He expected to get a grudging kiss back, an "ugh, you're awful, but fine" kind of kiss. But instead, Bucky yielded sweetly. Then he gently, slowly, deepened the kiss, until Steve got that floaty warm feeling that Bucky's more dedicated kisses always inspired. When Bucky pulled away, he said, warm and low and a little rough, "Sweetheart." And, oh. One of Steve's possibly vital internal organs turned to warm mush inside of him, and also his throat got a little tight, and he had to duck his burning face against Bucky's shoulder for a few seconds. Bucky let out an amused little huff, but his hand came up to stroke Steve's hair, and he pressed a kiss to the side of Steve's head. Oh, fuck. Steve had fucked up. Steve was fucked. What Steve had failed to consider was this. Peggy used to, and on good days still did, call him darling and dear and dearest, and it undid Steve a little every single time. During the war, she hadn't said it all that often, and certainly nowhere anyone could overhear. When they caught a moment alone, she'd say, "Darling, come here," with those bright and wicked brown eyes, and Steve would flush, which would make Peggy smile, and then they'd go on to thoroughly mess up her perfect red lipstick. Whether she'd said it with intent, "Stay a little longer, dearest," or with absent-minded fondness, "Can you hand me my stockings, dear?" It had left him blushing and tongue-tied. He never gotten up the wherewithal to respond in kind, and could never settle on an endearment besides. Steve had thought it was just yet another example of how unrelentingly terrible he was with women in a romantic context. Now he thought maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just... What was it Sam had said about him? "You have no chill, Steve. None." The situation could still be salvaged, Steve told himself. He just had to escalate to more ridiculous pet names. Bucky would do the same, and then it could be just yet another thing they were competitive assholes with each other about, and Steve could avoid this whole unfortunate and inconvenient feelings and no-chill situation. He just had to think of other ridiculous pet names that started with a B. Easy. Steve got as far as Buttercup before he had to resort to Googling, and then he winced his way through Baby Doll and Baby Cakes and Beloved. He'd never managed any of those with a straight face. Still, he gamely made an attempt with Buttercup, and mostly he just sounded like an asshole. Bucky raised an eyebrow and smirked, but didn't comment. He didn't have to. He was practically oozing, "That the best you can do?" But Bucky didn't escalate either, which made Steve suspicious. He'd expected a torrent of over-the-top endearments. Honey pie, stud muffin, sugar tits, hot stuff, sexy, whatever else Bucky's creative and filthy fucking mouth could come up with. But nope, nothing. Steve kept stuttering his awkward way through stilted uses of baby in place of Bucky, and while Bucky did keep blushing a little every time Steve did it, he didn't hit back with any pet names of his own. He was, Steve was sure, biding his time, using that absurd sniper patience of his to wait for the perfect moment. And, of course, because Bucky was the fucking worst, he picked his moment when they were out with Sam and Nat. Nat had rolled into town bearing new intel from Stark and Fury, and they'd spent the day putting together disparate intelligence reports, planning out their next hits against Hydra. They'd been productive enough that when dinner time rolled around, Steve called it a day and suggested eating at a nearby diner. Once they were seated in a booth, Steve was assaulted with an almost deja vu-like sense memory of any of dozens of double dates Bucky had set them up on. Only now, this particular double date was in the configuration Steve had always secretly wanted, him on a date with Bucky, their friends with each other. Bucky thought of it too, because he murmured, "This feels familiar," as they slid into the booth, his eyes creasing up in a smile. "Yeah, but I prefer it this way," said Steve, and took hold of Bucky's hand under the table. They all chatted about innocuous, non-Avengering-related things while perusing the diner menu, how pizza was a travesty in the Midwest, and what haircut Natasha should try next, and how Bucky's students were driving him crazy with how restless they were for summer break. When the waitress came, Steve still hadn't decided on his order. Bucky, naturally, was ordering a full breakfast for dinner, which Sam disapproved of.
"Brinner is not a thing, dude,"
There's breakfast, brunch, lunch, snack, and dinner. That's it.
I'm making it a thing, declared Bucky. Double stack of pancakes, home fries, and bacon, please, he told the waitress.
Sam ordered a burger and fries, and Natasha went with steak, which left Steve still looking at the menu and undecided.
Do you need more time? Asked the waitress.
No, just a second. Babe, you want to split an order of chili fries with me?
Bucky made a face and nudged him with his knee.
Can I veto chili fries in general? Because I'm sharing a bed and a bathroom with you, and that's just... Oh my God, that is not... I don't...
Bucky leaned over to look at the menu.
I'll share an order of garlic fries with you. How is that better? You're just trading one kind of stink for another, Steve said, giving Bucky's knee a nudge right back. If both of us have garlic stink, then neither of us will notice it and we'll cancel each other out. Very scientific, Mr. Murphy. I'm glad you shape young minds.
Bucky just grinned and hooked his ankle around Steve's.
Fine. Can I get the roasted chicken and an order of garlic fries, please?
Once the waitress left, they were left to face Sam and Natasha's raised eyebrows. Natasha looked simultaneously amused and exasperated. Sam was just shaking his head and giving Steve his "Why are you like this?" face. Sam got a lot of use out of that expression.
Babe, nice save there, said Natasha.
Steve rolled his eyes.
Steve, I'm sorry to tell you this, said Sam,
reaching across the table to put a hand on Steve's arm.
But you are not the kind of person who can pull off calling someone babe. You're just not. Look into your heart and you'll know I'm telling the truth.
What's that supposed to mean? Steve objected.
Bucky snorted. It's sad or buddy with this guy, and I am over buddy. It makes me feel like I'm his golden retriever.
Buttercup is still an option, baby, said Steve sweetly.
Never in my life have I seen a man who looks so little like a buttercup, said Sam. Don't tell me you're getting in on this lovey-dovey nonsense, Jack.
He doesn't have to remember a new name from me, grumbled Steve.
Bucky pointedly didn't look at Steve, instead directing a long-suffering kind of glare at Sam and Natasha.
Stephen, with a P-H, Grant, he said with perfect tonelessness.
Natasha winced, then smoothed her expression and said, in her bland, reporting-to-bureaucrat's voice, Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. A healthy team learns to accommodate its members' weaknesses while playing to their strengths.
Thank you, said Steve.
Put Steve in a tight enough shirt and no one notices he's terrible at undercover.
Natasha made a scale-weighing gesture with her hands.
Strengths? Weaknesses?
Steve threw a balled-up napkin at her in retaliation, and she grinned, then turned back to Bucky. Out of curiosity, though, Jack, if you did have to call him something else, started Natasha, and Steve knew this was it. This was the moment Bucky had been waiting for. Damn it, Natasha. And, sure enough, Bucky leaned in even closer where he was sitting on Steve's left side, took hold of Steve's hand where it was resting on top of the table, and laced their fingers together, all the while looking deep into Steve's eyes. Steve leaned in close on instinct, because Bucky's eyes were bright and happy, and summer sea blue, but, oh no, there was a wicked spark of mischief narrowing his eyes and lifting his mouth into a smirk, and that never boded well for Steve's dignity.
You know, I think I'll call him sweetheart, said Bucky,
and that wasn't fair at all, the way his voice went as low and fond and sincere as when he said, I love you, a tone of voice Steve couldn't help but associate with their shared bed. Steve could feel himself turning bright red, and his heart was maybe bursting or melting, he couldn't tell, and also he couldn't look away from Bucky, whose mischief had faded in favor of open affection. Bucky leaned in for a quick kiss, but Steve caught him before he could pull away, and kissed him for a long, helpless moment. Necking in a diner booth was probably not a thing two grown men should have been doing. Steve didn't really care. A spray of cold water to his face made him jerk back.
You are in public, lovebirds, said Sam,
then flicked more water at them. Bucky just laughed and leaned back, smug little grin on his face and eyes sparkling. Natasha sat back on her side of the booth with an incredulous look on her face.
Wow. Anyway, if I shared Steve's unfortunate inability to remember a cover name, I would call him sweetheart, if only that didn't happen every time, said Bucky. It's not real conducive to maintaining a cover,
or mission readiness.
Very romantic, though, noted Natasha dryly, and Bucky shrugged.
Steve glared at Bucky. Huh, so that was how Bucky was playing this. This was 1929, and the battle of whose excuses worked best on Sister Joan all over again. I can, too, maintain a cover.
Uh-huh, sure.
Natasha, back me up on this one. I learned it from you. Public displays of affection make people uncomfortable.
Now Bucky's forehead wrinkled in confusion.
You know, because people get uncomfortable and look away. So really, who's doing a better job maintaining a cover? Me, that's who.
Bucky squinted in thought, opened his mouth as if to argue, then closed it again.
This wasn't exactly how I pictured you implementing that particular lesson, but okay.
Sure, said Natasha.
It does make a certain amount of sense, I guess,
said Sam to Bucky.
Ha, I win.
If you say so, sweetheart, said Bucky, and, goddammit, Steve felt his face heat up again, and his lower spine turn to tingly jelly while his pulse kicked up a few happy notches.
Bucky, Steve was sure, could feel it, though he didn't say anything else, just squeezed Steve's hand.
Yeah, maybe Bucky had won this round, and maybe Steve didn't mind all that much. The end.